Pray that all will go well today and you'll have a good day. Time to begin our service, so let's pay attention to what's going on here. In Hebrews, we find some verses that describe what man's responsibility is on earth. And it's good to read these and know what they say, so we'll know what we ought to do. It's in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. So we have a great responsibility from these verses. And now we're going to worship in singing.
You're using a hymnal. Turn to number 77. Number 77. Glorify thy name. Number 166, if you're using a hymnal, number 166, He's My King.
Oh,
Now the next song, this is a newer song. We've not sang with this one here before. It'll just be on the overhead. And the rhythms are a little bit tricky. We'll try to keep together and see how it goes. I love you, Lord. Be led in prayer.
Bow with you if you mind. Oh dear Heavenly Father, how good and wonderful you are. We look around and we see your works. The heaven, the stars, the sun. We look on this earth and we see all the good things that you have done. We ask that we glorify your name. We ask that we worship you. Help us to build our hope, to build our faith. As we receive the word, help us to understand and to live in you through your words. We ask that you watch over us, you keep us safe, you keep those that are protecting us safe. We ask that you be with those that are sick and not able to make it, to be able to comfort them. Your will always be done, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you are using a hymnal this morning, please mark as the song of invitation this morning is 902, Nothing But the Blood. Place your marker at 902. Once you have that mark, let's sing Victory in Jesus. If you would, let's stand as we sing. Number 470. In the hymnal, that's number 470.
I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and loved me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the way to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his last command and gained the victory.
Now is the time to take the children to the crane class. We're taking them now. I'll be reading Acts chapter 26, verses 28 through 29. Acts chapter 26, verses 28 through 29. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who are hear me today, might become both and almost altogether such as I am, except for these chains."
There we go. Can everybody hear me okay? I have a problem. Sometimes people can't hear me when I speak. So I just want to make sure. I've been looking forward to this day for a while. A few weeks ago when Danny Kellum asked me to teach the book of 2 Corinthians, he also said, "Hey, the September the 15th on Sunday morning, preaching is open." Man, I've been waiting on this day for a long time, to stand up here and be able to preach the word. If you've wondered where I've been, I know a lot of people know. I've been over in the Hispanic ministry for the last 10 months. And so this morning I got a feeling, can everybody understand me? I'm just checking because normally I have to have an interpreter when I'm over there, or there's not a whole lot gets across. So really looking forward to this morning. I'm going to start out with a few questions. I like to start out with questions and ask, you know, make sure I know who I'm speaking to. Are there, and we don't have to raise hands, okay? We don't have to raise hands. You can if you want. Be more than happy to raise your hand if you want to. Are there any Christians in this room? Oh, you're one, Joe? Okay. Okay, we got a few people willing to admit it this morning. That's good. 3 out of 350 who admitted that they are Christians this morning. Very, very good. Okay, so my next question is, are there any non-Christians in this room? And you don't have to raise your hand. Are there any non-Christians in this room? Well, I see a young man over there. Yeah, I get you. You're a little young. I get you. But you know what? He at least said, "Yeah, I'm not a Christian yet, but I'm going to be someday. I'm going to be someday." Is there anyone in this room that doesn't fit in either one of those categories? Oh, I get no hands this time. Okay, so we all fit into either we're a Christian or we're a non-Christian this morning, which is very, very good, because that is going to be our lesson this morning. Our lesson will be to Christians and non-Christians alike. Now, a lot of times I go into a lot of the prisons and everything, and I like to ask questions, and we're going to start off with questions this morning. I'm kind of missing the little clicker. Oh, there it is. In case you're wondering, thank you. My lovely assistant, Gabe, brought me the clicker. My questions this morning is, do you believe in God? Now, you don't have to raise your hand and everything on these questions, okay? But do you believe in God? I got a feeling that we're all sitting here this morning because absolutely we believe in God. Christians and non-Christians alike in this room believe in God. That's a very important question. Do you believe that this is the inspired Word of God? I got a feeling I've never had anybody in any class, prison or not prison, say no. I've never had anybody say no to any of these questions. They believe this is the Word of God. Do you believe that the Word of God is truth? And everything in this book right here is absolutely truth. Do you believe that? The good and the bad. The good and the bad. A lot of preachers won't mention hell. A lot of preachers won't mention hell. I mention hell every single time I speak. Why? Because it's in there. The good thing is, if we're Christians and we're faithful, we don't have to worry about any of that hell stuff. We don't have to worry about it. That's a wonderful thing, to not have to worry about hell, because we are remaining faithful to God and obedient to His Word. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So if I bring up hell, okay. Okay, great, Mike, you brought up hell. Doesn't apply to me. That does not apply to me. Because I'm going to be faithful to God. Here, let me ask you another question. Do you love Jesus? Do you? Oh, I guarantee you, if I went around and interviewed every single person in this room, everybody's going to give me, absolutely, I love Jesus. Absolutely. After what Jesus did for me, I love Jesus. But what does Jesus say? And this is a personal, you can think about it yourself. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. So there's the question that we ask ourselves, are we keeping Jesus' commandments? We can say we love Jesus all day long. We can say we love Jesus. I can say I love my wife all day long, but if I don't show her something, if I don't show her that I love her, how is she going to know? We can say we love Jesus all day long, but actions speak a lot louder than words. I love you, Jesus. I'm not going to do anything for you, Jesus, but I love you. Really? Really? But I do believe that this word of God is truth, and I think everybody in here does. The good and the bad. And that's what we're going to get into this morning. That's the title of the lesson. By the way, I want to give a shout out real quick to Tim Hall. I purposely reached out to him this morning to see how he's doing. He's doing great. His recovery is going great, and he wants everybody here to know that he appreciates the prayers. He appreciates all the prayers that you're giving, and they're working, and he is very excited to get back here when he can. And so are we. We're excited to see you too, Tim. The question we want to ask ourselves this morning are we tempting fate? Are we tempting fate? You see the picture I put up there is a guy walking a high wire. You ever seen the guys walking on a high wire with no net below them? You ever seen that? Absolutely. We look up there at the person with the high wire with no net, and what's our response? Oh, no, we would never do that, would we? Anybody in here want to raise your hand and say, oh, yeah, I'd walk across that wire with no net under me? No, 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 I see a no over there. I see a very emphatic no coming from that direction. I'm with you. Why would we tempt fate? Oh, you would do it? Why would we tempt fate? Why would we do that with our souls? Why would we do that by living a life that is not in obedience with God's word? Remember what I told you, this is going to be a lesson for Christians and non-Christians. Because Christians, they fall away just like anybody else. They can become part of the world again. This whole once saved, always saved is not true. Watch out for that. It's not true. God gives us specific instructions in this book to allow us to have the opportunity to go to heaven. And if we're living in obedience to this word, we are guaranteed to have a hope, to have that home in heaven when we pass away. Hallelujah. Absolutely. A Christian dies. We can celebrate that. They have reached their goal. They are now victorious. And that's what we want to be. We want to live victorious Christian lives. That's why we sung Victory in Jesus. I was so glad Josh chose that song. How about that? It just happened. How about that? He just happened to choose maybe a text from me to sing Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. I know, right? It wasn't quite the surprise to me. Maybe it was to you. But victory in Jesus, we can have that. And we don't have to tempt fate. We don't have to do it. And we're going to go over some things this morning about how we can do that. But we're also going to go over some warnings. We're going to go over, God sent warnings to us through his word. He says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. And we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to start out actually in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. You can see it right there. Can you lose your salvation by willfully sinning? Think about that for a second. Think about it. Can you lose salvation by willfully sinning? The answer is absolutely yes. Let me get over there. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 26. We're going to read this, then we're going to talk about it just for a minute. If, there's our conditional statement right there. If we deliberately keep on sinning. If we deliberately keep on doing what God told us exactly not to do. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Let's talk about that just for a second. Let's just break it down just for a second. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the truth, here's your next question. Here's your next question. Is there anyone in here who has not received the truth? You don't have to raise your hand. I know the answer. Every single one of us in here, Christian and non-Christian alike, have received the truth. Now, you know, back in Jesus' time, you know, they had two choices. They had two choices. They could either accept or they could reject. It's one or the other. We have the same exact choices today. We can listen to the truth all day long, but unless we accept it by our actions, oh, it's just words. It's just words. Yeah, I accept you, Christ, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to act as you told me to act. Yeah, I like this part of the Bible better than this one, so this is the part that I'm going to do. I'm not going to do this. I hope that's good enough. I hope that's good enough, God. I know you sent a man to stand in my place when I should have been there to die for me. He died in my place, in all of our places, because we all know what put Jesus on that cross. It was sin. Sin put Jesus on that cross, so we're all guilty of putting him on that cross. He stood in our place, and I guarantee you, if we take that seriously enough, if we take that sacrifice seriously enough, that we will never let anybody say anything bad about Christ, and we will stand up for him for the rest of our lives. And you know what? We're going to tell people exactly what he did for us. We're going to take the Matthew 28:18-20 seriously. We've been commissioned. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But yet, you know, go into all the world. You know, sometimes we take that as a suggestion or something. It's a suggestion. Yeah, there's plenty of people who go out and preach the word, and there's plenty of people who let them do it. See, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's a commandment to do that. Every single verse in this Bible was God breathed. He's giving us commandments, not suggestions. Let's keep going here. Keep going. If we deliberately keep on sinning, or if we deliberately know, that you told what you told us to do, to come into obedience with your word, and we'll talk about that later. And yet, God, I think I'm a good person. I think I'm a good person, God. I think you should let me in heaven, God, because I'm a good person. I didn't obey your word completely, but I'm a good person. I think everybody in here, I think the majority of the world is filled with good people. But that doesn't mean that they are in obedience with God's word. You understand that? Just because we're not mean to people and we don't steal things and we're nice and we do things, that doesn't mean anything. God gave us specific commands to do. So here we go. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Yep, there we go. There we go. I can also go around and ask you in this room, if Jesus was here in person this morning, if he was here this morning, are we going to look him straight in the face and say, Jesus, I know what you did, but I'm going to keep doing what I want. I am not going to come into obedience to your word by obeying the gospel. I ain't doing it. No, we live in a world where, you know, Jesus is out of sight. We can't see him, so we do what we want. And we're all guilty. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I quote that all the time. In the prisons, we need to quote that. We need to let everybody know we're on the same level here. Every single one of us are on the same level. But some have come into obedience with God's word. Some have not. Some are still living apart from God's word. Some are not. We talked about that in the class this morning. The ones who are in God's word, the strong ones, cling to them. Those are the people we want to be around. When we're weak, find somebody that's strong to help us along. Let's keep going. Here you go. Remember all that hell stuff? Remember that hell stuff that nobody likes? Remember, I'm telling you, on TV, you'll never hear the word hell come out of some of them preachers. Never. They'll lose their audience. Here you go. If we deliberately keep on sinning, or if we just continue to reject what you told us to do, God, there's only a fearful expectation of judgment, of raging fire. Ooh, that sounds... do I need to go around the room and ask you if that's what you want? Do I need to do that? I don't think I do, do I? I don't need to ask Mike. I don't need to ask Mike that question either. I know. I know everybody's answer. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants to. But yet, our actions say differently. Or our inaction says differently. Remember, I'm talking to Christians and non-Christians this morning. Christians, our actions tell differently sometimes. Hopefully, the more we mature, the easier things get and everything. I get it. Non-Christians, your inaction says just that. I was kind of sort of joking this morning that I'm going to be bringing the pain this morning. Bringing the pain. And everybody's like, well, I had some message. You shouldn't do that. I'm like, hey, you go back to the day of Pentecost. You remember when they were cut to the heart? Ever been cut? Everybody ever had a cut? Man, I got a little blister right there, and it's just driving me crazy. You ever been pricked with a pricker or something? It doesn't feel good. It's painful. It doesn't feel good. They felt the pain. They felt the pain on the day of Pentecost, and they asked the all-important question, what shall we do to be saved? They asked the question. Well, guess what? Peter didn't sit there and make them have to guess it. He gave them the answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of your sins, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and not until. You know, I'm not looking out through this crowd right here. I don't know who's who. I don't know who's Christian and non-Christian. But it applies to every single one of us in here, to include me, who's delivering the lesson. Over in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Right after Peter gave them that all-important instruction, repent and be baptized. I hear you. I heard the truth, but I'm not doing that baptism thing. I ain't doing it. Well, you know what Peter did? You can see it right there. And that's exactly what I'm doing this morning. That's exactly what every single teacher, preacher, anybody you come and talk to about the gospel of Christ, this is exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it. They're pleading. With many other words, he warned them and he was pleading with them. Please. Today is the day of salvation. Please save yourself from this corrupt generation. You get that? What's this corrupt generation? Well, at that time, it's the ones who just put Jesus on the cross. Well, guess what? We have already agreed in this room, sin put Jesus on the cross, so we had a part in that. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted, you see, I got accepted up there. We'll talk about rejection in a minute. Accepted his message, they were baptized. How about that? There's a novel idea. Baptism. The ones who accepted were baptized. Let's go on down into Hebrews, a little bit farther there. Hebrews, and we're going to start with verse 28. Anyone who rejected, there's our word right there. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished? Here you go. Man, I'm telling you, the writer of Hebrews did not pull any punches. We're not pulling any punches this morning. But we can speak and talk and do it. And any preacher, Tim Hall, can get up here and speak. But until we start taking that seriously and say, God, I am absolutely nothing without you, then we're just a bunch of words. That's all we are. All words. All talk and no action. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm not accusing me either or anybody online. But we have to take that personal inventory and decide, hey, God, am I all talking, no action? Is that me? Well, if that's me, then I've got a problem. I've got a problem. It says it right here. How much more severely do you think, remember, if Jesus was in this room, this is exactly what we're saying. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them. Here you go. Here's this gift. Here's this gift I gave you by dying on the cross for you. Here's your gift. I don't want it. Not good enough. I don't want it. Trampled underfoot the Son of God, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge." Here comes a promise. This is a promise. I think we all agreed this word is true, right? I think we all agreed. "For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You get that? That's called rejecting. Yeah, Christians, remember, this is a lesson for all of us. Christians, yeah, we can go on deliberately sinning if we want to. We literally can. We can do whatever we want. But we know what's going to happen if we do. Non-Christians, you have the opportunity to accept or reject. But if you choose to reject, you have the same exact destination as those who deliberately keep on sinning. Maybe a good person or not, you have the exact same destination. We go over to the book of Acts, and this is what Josh read for us this morning. Acts, in chapter 26, he's talking to King Agrippa, he's telling, everything that Jesus said to him, everything he appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he's sharing this story, how Jesus changed his life. He tells him the story, and Jesus says, "Why are you kicking against the goat, Paul? Anybody who hasn't accepted Christ in their life and been baptized, why are you rejecting Christ? Why are you kicking against the goat? You're only hurting yourself. If you continue to deliberately sin, you're only hurting yourself. What's the point of this life if we're just going to deliberately continue to sin, or we're going to reject Christ? What's the point? What's the point in coming here this morning? What's the point? We have two choices, accept or reject. Well, probably the saddest verses in the entire Bible, or verse right here, verse 28. "Then King Agrippa said, 'Do you think that in such a short time you could persuade me to be a Christian?'" How about that? Is that us? Are we the King Agrippa? Are we the King Agrippa this morning? "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me, to be a Christian?" Well, Paul said he didn't want to just convert him. He wanted to convert everybody. He wanted everybody to have that reward, to have everything that has been promised. Remember, there's a lot of good stuff in this scripture too. Hey, the good stuff. Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. So do the TV preachers. Let's talk about the good stuff. If you want the good stuff, well, let's go get the good stuff. Let's go get it together. What do you say? Let's go get it together. We have that opportunity to go get it together. Every single one of us in this room have that opportunity. Every single person online, every single person in this entire world. Jesus didn't just come down here for us. He died for everyone. Remember? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That's everybody. That's every single person. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's what he wants. But you got to take it seriously. Are we tempting fate? Let me tell you what, down here in Tennessee, I've learned something. I live on a road that's like this wide. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, it's like this wide. And I'm telling you, it's tempting fate every single time I go home. I sure hope that other driver does what I'm expecting them to do. You get that? I sure hope they do what they're supposed to do. But sometimes they don't. That's why we hear about the head-on collisions. We hear about things. You hear preachers in and out all the time say, "You got to get right with God today. What are you waiting for? Do you really want to tempt fate? Or are you all talk and all talk and no action?" Yeah, we all admit it in this room. Yes, I love you, Jesus. Well, one of his commands, and we're going to get to those in just a minute. He gave us a plan of salvation, and we'll get there. How about this? Why don't we consider these people? Why don't we consider these? How about the Pharisees? Is there anybody that has a good impression of Pharisees? Anybody in here? Anybody in here? Would anybody like to volunteer to play the role of a Pharisee today? I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. How about Judas Iscariot? Does anybody want to play the role of Judas Iscariot? Anybody remember him? How close do you think these people were to Jesus? So close, yet so far away. Ain't that something? When we're not living in obedience to God's word, that's us. So close. We're so close, it's right in front of us. Yet we're so far away because we choose not to take it seriously. Christians and non-Christians. Because I know there's non-Christians. There are in every single congregation who know what it takes to be a Christian, and then they choose not to. I remember my dad had a friend. Man, he was the finest guy. We still talk about him to this day, and goodness, he died 30 years ago. What a wonderful guy. Not a Christian. As much as his dad and them tried to get him to, not a Christian. Scripture is very clear. God is very clear, because we all know God told us. He put it out here. Not Mike. Not Tim and Tim and Greg and Josh and everybody else that gets up here. No, we didn't put that out there. God put that out there. And we believe God's word is truth. So we also get to figure out whether this is us too. I put this song up here because it's perfect. It's so perfect to do a self-inventory this morning. Every single one of us, elders, deacons, preachers, whatever we are, we all need to do a self-inventory. Prepare to meet thy God is the name of this song. Very popular song. I know we all know this song. We're not going to sing it, I promise. I know you thought it was coming, didn't you? We're not going to sing it. But I want to read these words to you. And I need you to pay attention. Are you, is Mike, the careless soul that this song is talking about? Is that us? Careless soul, why will you linger? Why are you waiting? Wandering from the fold of God, hear you not the invitation? Here's the pleading. Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spent in folly? Another word for folly, several other words for folly, foolishness, idiocy. There's words that we just don't like to be classified as. But if we're a careless soul, that's exactly what it's saying. Why would we live our life in foolishness? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Hear you not, here you go, hear you not the earnest pleadings, there's our word, pleadings, of your friends that wish you well, and perhaps before tomorrow you'll be called to meet your God. You see that? Hebrews is a book full of warnings. He's warning us. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, till it's too late, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. It's a powerful song. We get to decide if that's us or not. I love choices. I get to decide whether that's me. I get to decide whether I'm on the I accepted Christ or I rejected Christ. I get to choose that. You see right there, we're not going to go over this again. But one more time, and the song even said it. As Peter did on the day of Pentecost, I'm pleading. We are pleading for everyone to come in obedience with gospel before it's too late. in Ecclesiastes, and it's very rare that I have any lesson without Ecclesiastes being mentioned. Solomon lived a pretty good life for the most of it. He went through about a 10-year stretch where he wasn't very good. He allowed idolatry, allowed other things in his life. He still had God in his life. He just wasn't giving all to God. He was just giving part to God. That's a problem. And then when he gets toward the end of his life, when he wrote this book right here, he's living with a bunch of regrets. Regrets. The book of Ecclesiastes is one big confession. One big confession, because he realized something. He was the most popular guy, the most powerful guy, he was the richest guy. He had everything at his beck and call at any time, and he realized something that is completely worthless, meaningless, vanity. He realized that. And then he gets to the end of this book, and God inspired him to write this for our benefit. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. I got one more question for you, and then we're going to wrap this up. One more question. There you go. Are you a Christian? You know, over in John chapter 14, Thomas asked a very, very, very important question. How can we get to where you are if we don't know where you're going? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Are you a Christian? Are you willing to submit your life and start living a life for Christ, in Christ? We sung victory in Jesus for all who have been baptized into Christ. There's only one way to get in Christ. For all who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, here's the thing. Let's go back to our first verses this morning. Back to Hebrews chapter 10. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have heard the truth. After we have heard the truth. If you have heard the truth this morning. Or if you have heard the truth in previously. Or if you know the truth. There's lots of ways to hear the truth. It doesn't come from just right here. There's lots of ways to hear the truth. If you've heard the truth and you believe it. You believe it with all of your heart. My goodness, we believe it so much. We are willing to turn our lives over. This is where God requires obedience. Right here. We believe it. So now this requires action. This requires more than just saying, yeah, God, I believe you. I believe you. Great. I can tell you right now, Noah could have heard God, yeah, God, I believe you're going to send a flood. I know, I believe you. But if he had never cut the first board, I guarantee you he would have been at the bottom of that water just like everybody else, because he did not act. He did not act on the faith that he has. We are saved by grace through our faith, because faith causes action. Faith causes us to do what God told us to do. That's where repentance comes in. That's where repentance. We are ready to turn our lives completely over to God. Yeah, God, you told us to do it this way. That's how I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to do it. No longer is it Mike's way. No, it's God's way. And then we're ready to confess before everybody for the rest of our lives. Yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He is the Son of God. I believe that with all my heart. He came and lived, died, and rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. And I'm ready to turn my life over to him for that sacrifice. Well, he didn't just say repent. He didn't just say confess. He didn't just say believe. He didn't just say hear. He said be baptized. We're getting ready to sing a song. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there's only one way to come in contact with the blood of Christ. And that's through baptism. That's the only way. Unless you got another one that I don't know about. And I got a feeling I know the answer to this question too. There's no other way for our sins to be washed away unless we come in contact with the blood of Christ. If we truly believe that, I highly encourage you to come up. Come up. Change it. Change it today before it's too late. Or if there's any in here, I was talking to non-Christians right there. Here, Christians. If maybe we've fallen away, maybe we got something in our lives that we need prayer from the church. We need other people to help us get through. If that's us, if we're struggling with something, whatever it is, I highly encourage you to come up too. If you're subject to the invitation, come while we stand and while we sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood.
Seated. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 337, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Ruin sinners.
Please prepare your communion sets. Matthew 26, 26. Matthew 26, 26. And I'll be reading from the King James. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you just now, we're humbled, dear God, to think of what's been done on our behalf, the sacrifice that was voluntarily given, knowing and recognizing, dear God, that Christ walked on this earth, lived a deliberate life, submitted to your will in all things, and stood in our place, that we will not receive the just recompense of our actions, of our sin, and of our neglect. We're grateful for this, Father. We're also grateful that your word commands us to be reminded of this on a weekly basis so that we may enter into the next week ready, dear God, to face those challenges that may come our way and to cause us to be grateful. We're grateful, dear God, for this opportunity and for what's been done, what was broken on our behalf. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen. Continued reading. Verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let us pray. Our fathers, we reflect on what's been done on our behalf. We know, dear God, of the pain, the struggle, the physical struggle, the physical pain, the emotional. But we cannot understand the spiritual pain, dear God, that our sins have brought about on your only Son. We're thankful for him. We're thankful for the courage he displayed, the example that he set in his asking, dear God, of us to be motivated by these examples, to do the right thing so that we may find acceptance in your sight, that your will may be realized not only here, but in the after while. Help us to be ever grateful for this blood, for this example, and the opportunity. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen. This being a good opportunity, let us show our appreciation by the physical needs that have been provided to us by sharing that the Lord's work may prosper, that things may be done in good order, that things may be done after the will of the Father, that the will may be expanded of God on this earth. Let us be fruitful in our giving, this prayer we offer. God, as we come before you just now, we're thankful for the physical blessings of life you bestowed upon us. In a land, dear God, where we can pursue opportunity, where we can provide for this work, for our families, for ourselves, that much good may be done, that souls might be reached through the blessings of the giving. We ask, dear God, that you bless these gifts and their distribution. We pray, dear God, for a blessing also on the givers. This prayer we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.